Welcome to the Disrupting Obesity Podcast. I'm Charlotte Skanes, and I'll be sharing ways to regain control over your body and lose an extreme amount of weight naturally. Being fat is about so much more than just the food. It's about your relationship with food. That means that dealing with your weight is about more than just the food too. You have to change that relationship. You have to start disrupting obesity. I get a ton of questions about calories and I never get sick of them. So I want to spend an entire episode doing nothing but answering the most common calorie questions I see. There's a ton of ground to cover here and I'm going to start with the absolute basics. We're just going to dive right in, but we're going to go deep on this one. So let's just start at the very beginning. What's a calorie? Because that word gets thrown around a lot, but what does it actually mean? Okay, a calorie is the amount of energy that it takes to raise 1 gram of water by 1 degree, which is technically the correct answer, but I really don't think it's very helpful at all. Calories are fuel, they're energy. As your body digests food, it converts it into units of energy. Those are calories. We need them the same way a car needs gas or a toaster needs electricity. It's the energy that makes us go. Your body burns calories doing all kinds of things, not just cardiovascular exercise. I really don't want to get myself started on this one, but this is kind of a new angle because not only do you not have to exercise to lose weight, you most certainly do not ever need to do cardiovascular exercise to lose weight. I've been under a lot of fire for this one lately, but I'm not going to stop banging this drum. Or as I said to somebody in the comments this week, I'm going to keep telling the truth until I can't speak, but not today, because this episode is about calories, which are the only thing that you need to worry about if you want to lose weight. That's it. I've raged about this in a few episodes, but number nine is probably the best place to start. That's the episode called Do Not Exercise to Lose Weight. Next week's episode is called Stop Exercising to Lose Weight. And I'm going to come at it from a totally different angle. So you'll probably want to check that one out too. But okay, back to calories. You're pretty much always burning them. You burn calories if you're lying perfectly still in bed. Your body needs calories to breathe and pump blood and blink your eyes, digest your food to get more calories, to grow your fingernails, all of those things. The number of calories your body burns just doing its thing, that's your BMR. That's your basal metabolic rate. There's also the TEF, the thermic effect of food, which is the number of calories it takes to digest food. But it does take calories to do cardio or to walk up the hall of the kitchen at a leisurely pace or brush your teeth or lift your arm from the plate to your mouth. Anything and everything extra that you do, everything above and beyond your BMR, it takes calories too. So there's the AEE, which is the activity energy expenditure. And the amount of its percentage in your TDEE is going to vary just wildly, depending on how much movement you're doing. The total number of calories that your body burns in a day, that's your TDEE, your total daily energy expenditure. It's your BMR plus 10% of it is the TEF, that whole thermic effect of food thing, plus your AEE, everything else. I said we were going to go deep, and we are, and we could go a lot deeper on this one, but don't think that you need to. I generally just shorthand it and have BMR and TDEE. That's it. Your TEF is fixed at 10% and your activity energy expenditure, manipulating that. I'm not a fitness person. So it's just, that's not my thing. But your TDEE leads us to question number two. How do I find out how many calories I should be eating? The super short answer here is you should be eating 500 calories less than your TDEE if you're trying to lose weight. Okay. Question three, well, it ties into, so I'll just lay it out. Can you define a calorie deficit and explain how to achieve it? Yes, I can. A calorie deficit is when you eat less than your TDEE. You gain weight when you eat more calories than your body burns. That's a calorie surplus. You lose weight when you eat fewer calories than your body burns. That's a calorie deficit. You need to figure out your TDEE so you can figure out how many calories you need to be in a deficit. Eunice. Let's talk about Eunice. Eunice is 57. She is 5'6". She weighs 283 pounds and she has a sedentary job and lifestyle. Cool. Her total daily energy expenditure is 2,262 calories. And I didn't just pull that number out of the air. There's a super crazy mathematical formula that will get you there. But in the wild, I just use an online TDEE calculator that does the math instantly. And that's all you need to do too. I'll drop a link to the one that I use in the notes. You can calculate your TDEE in like less than 30 seconds. Don't worry about the body fat percentage part. The one I'm going to post, it asks for your body fat percentage. Don't even worry about it. Most of us don't know our BFP and you don't need it to calculate an accurate answer. The second part to question three, to figure out how to achieve a calorie deficit, what Eunice is going to do is she's going to get her TDEE and then she's going to subtract 500 from the maintenance calories. So Eunice wants to eat 1,762 calories a day so she can lose a pound to a pound and a half a week, which is really the ideal rate for her to do it. It's a beautifully sustainable pace. And the reason it's 500 calories a day is because a pound of fat is 3,500 calories. Divided by the 7 days of the week gives you 500 calories a day. Here's the thing though, and this is where I'm going to take a bit of a left turn from the standard advice on this one. Sorry. I don't think Eunice should start there. I've already used the S word once, and you're probably going to hear it a few more times, but starting at under 1,800 calories, it's not a sustainable start for her. It's just not. Losing a lot of weight is stupid hard. Stupid hard. Losing it in an unsustainable way makes it nearly impossible. So let's not do that. And I know you're in a hurry. I get that you want to get this done as fast as you possibly can. And believe me when I tell you, I know exactly how precious time is. 2023 was the year of the three-peat for me, and it got close. I am so lucky to be sitting here right now. Nothing makes you more grateful than almost dying. And it really does drive home just how important time actually is. But this, losing a lot of weight, this isn't something you want to rush. You can't do weight loss in a hurry. You just can't. I know we all wish we could. I do. But weight loss doesn't end. It doesn't end when you get the pounds off. You've got to keep it off too. And since the overwhelming majority of people who lose their weight gain it back. So you want to make sure that you're doing everything you can to make sure that you aren't one of those people. You stay out of the majority by taking your time and getting it right. I'm not saying it's easy, but I will tell you that most things that are worth doing correctly aren't. They're not easy, right? Plus, doing it the right way is easier than the alternative, which is doing it in a hurry, right? You change nothing about your underlying relationship with food, and then you gain the weight back, or you end up giving up before you get to your goal because what you're doing is unsustainable. None of these scenarios leave you any better off than taking your time and getting it right. So no, I don't think Eunice should drop to 1,762 calories a day. I think that's a bad idea. If I were coaching her through this, I would tell Eunice to track what she's eating for the next 2 weeks. Just eat like normal, but track it all of it, as honestly and accurately as she can. And it really is in her best interest to do this honestly and accurately. Here's why. What I'm going to do next is ask Eunice to add up those 14 days worth of tracking calories and get a daily average. I want to know how many calories she's used to taking in every day, not just because of what her body is used to consuming each day, but because of how much she's used to having emotionally. Right? It's not about the food. It's about your relationship with food. So let's say Eunice is used to having 3,400 calories a day. That's her average. Right on. I'm going to ask her to drop to 3,200 calories for the next week. Then 3,000 the next week. Then 2,800 the week after that and 26 the following week, right until she gets down to 1,762. And yeah, I realize that's going to take her 8 weeks. I do. But most people don't stick to their diets for that long anyway. Most people quit pretty early on. So why not slowly just ease her way into the pool, right? It took me a long time to get this one. I could never understand how my mom could just sit there, right? When the water was just so amazing. But I get it now because it's fucking cold. That's why. And I hate being cold. And yeah, I know it's going to warm up and I'll get used to it and I won't want to get out just like I did when I was a kid. but I really hate being cold. So I'm just going to tiptoe my way in little bits at a time. Here's the other thing, right? Eunice wants to lose 135 pounds. I would much rather see her start off slowly and actually keep going for the year and a half that it's likely going to take her to get to that goal than watch her drop the first 50 in a hurry and then give up because she hates the way she feels about herself when all the joy has been sucked out of one of her favorite things to do. Eat. Yeah, so that's not a recipe for success. And I want to see Eunice succeed. She deserves this. We all do. Everyone deserves a healthy body. So let's take it slow. And really, if Eunice was rocking the 200 calorie a week drops, there's nothing saying she can't start dropping by 300 for the last few weeks to speed things up slightly. But she needs to have the time and the space to see how she's going to handle those drops. And I don't just mean how hungry she's going to feel. I mean, I do, right? Because that matters. But I also mean how she's going to handle not eating as much from an emotional standpoint. How is she going to cope when she's becoming aware of what she's eating and when she's actively eating in a deficit? I've got so many thoughts on this. So many thoughts. All of which deal with the second half of question three, right? That's the how to achieve a calorie deficit part. Every single episode I do ties back to achieving a calorie deficit in some way. They all do. And there are some very specific ways you can get yourself into a calorie deficit without feeling like you're depriving the shit out of yourself all the time. You know, if you haven't gotten one already, make sure you grab a copy of my guide to getting started for the last time. The free link is in the notes and it's going to lay out all of this for you, whether it's your first time trying this or it's your 37th time trying to get it all off. Question four is about getting started tracking calories. So make sure you have the guide, if only because these episodes just aren't long enough for me to go over it all. But the best way to get started is to download a free tracking app like MyFitnessPal and then use it to follow the same advice that I just gave to Eunice about her TDEE and getting to her 500 calorie a day deficit. Ignore the number the app tells you to hit and just use it to track what you normally eat. Get an average and then eat 200 calories less than that, increasing that by 200 calories a week until you get to your TDEE minus 500. I expand on these a lot in the guide, but you're going to want to figure out things like how much the bowls and mugs and the other stuff you use to hold food actually holds so that you've got a way to gauge how much you're eating. Learn your serving sizes and take a close look at things you spread, sprinkle, or pour. That's a great way to find really easy calories to cut without sacrificing your overall satisfaction. Be honest with yourself. I think that might be the hardest part of all of this, learning to accept the answers that honest awareness brings. The most important thing to remember when you're getting started with tracking is that it's going to get easier, I promise. It can feel really complicated and really frustrating and discouraging at first, but doing it makes it get easier. It gets easier as you go. It's one of those practice things, right? The apps are also intuitive. So they're going to remember the things that you're entering and they'll start suggesting them back to you, which is going to make this whole thing easier to navigate. And honestly, it's very, very worth the time to just sit down and enter some of the meals and recipes that you most often use because it saves you so much time in the long run. When it comes to tracking calories, it's one of those things where the more you do it, the less time it's going to take to do. So it's kind of important that you keep at it, right? Just suffer through the suckitude. Most things that are worth doing take time to get good at, right? You don't read sheet music easily at first. But once you've been at it for a while, you can just sit down and play, right? Okay, let's see if we can gun through a couple of quick ones. Do I have to count carbs? With the sub question, did you focus on tracking protein? I know those sound like they aren't about calories, but I promise you that they are. Because the answer is no. No, you definitely don't have to count carbs or protein at all. Just calories. Don't worry about the macros. Don't. You've got enough on what I hope is your very well-balanced plate right now. Calories first. Figure that out. What do you use to track? Okay, I use MyFitnessPal. And I've tried macros first and I like it. I've used the free versions of both of those. And I've also tracked the pen and paper because when I lost all my weight the first time, there were no apps for weight loss. So it was a pen and paper or nothing. I prefer MyFitnessPal, but pen and paper, has some real benefits as well. Is it true that alcohol has no calories? Definitely not. No, super, super not true. Very pervasive myth, but very untrue. Booze is loaded for bear with calories. I mean, it's not as bad as cheese, but it's not great. You can lose weight while drinking alcohol, just as long as you account for those calories that you're taking in. It's the exact same as anything else. Track it and find a way to make it fit. I took on this question in a lot more detail in episode 30, and I'll drop a link to it in the notes too, if you want some more info. Okay, so I took a look at the list and there aren't a ton of questions left, but a couple of them are a tad on the, I might get myself into trouble side of things. So I'm trying to decide if I should split them up or take them on one at a time. First, let's make question number 8. Do I still need to track calories if I'm intermittent fasting? And I'm now realizing that I've actually picked one that wasn't coming out of left field at first glance, but it really kind of is. Okay, so I'm pretty sure most of the advice out there is that you don't have to track if you're intermittent fasting, but I disagree completely. Like I really, really disagree. Really disagree with that. I can out-eat my TDEE in a fasting window that's under an hour long, and you can too. You really can. My current TDEE is less than 2,000 calories. Okay, and that's when I'm walking 5K a day. I'm very short. And I can for sure eat that in less than an hour, way less than an hour. I could eat my old TDEE from when I was 338 pounds in less than an hour. So 2,000 calories is nothing. I should probably speak out on this one more since I see it so often. But you totally can gain weight while you're intermittent fasting. It's the same as intuitive eating, which is a whole other thing that will get me into even more trouble, a lot more trouble. Because my intuition when it comes to food is to keep eating till it hurts, because that's easier to deal with than whatever I'm eating to not have to deal with. Intermittent fasting requires calorie tracking. I mean, maybe if you've got 15 pounds to lose and you're used to eating a relatively normal amount of calories at your 3 square meals each day, then fill your boots, right? Give yourself an intermittent fasting window that cuts out a chunk of the day during which you usually eat, and you're going to put yourself into a calorie deficit and you'll lose the weight, because that's how intermittent fasting works. It puts you in a calorie deficit. It's the same way every single weight loss plan, program, diet, surgery, you name it. They all work because they put you into a calorie deficit. Full stop. So the flip side of that coin is that if you're not in a calorie deficit while you're doing the plan, the diet, the program, the pills, the shakes, after the surgery, your fasting window, intuitively, you name it, if you're not in a deficit, you won't lose weight. And if you find yourself in a surplus, you will gain weight. And that's how even people who've had surgery, right, when they're physically limited as the amount of food that their stomach can hold, they can stop losing weight or start gaining it back. It's all about the calories. So if you're intermittent fasting, which is how I lost my weight, you still have to make sure you're in a calorie deficit. I know that when I was big, I could easily eat my whole day's calories in a single sitting, super easily. So telling myself that I could only eat during a specific 8-hour window instead of the usual, you know, I ate anytime from the moment I woke up until pretty much the moment I went to bed. Sometimes I was still eating in bed, which could mean that I was eating during up to a 17-hour window. Telling myself I could only eat during an 8-hour period wasn't going to be enough, right? Sure, it helped tremendously to lock myself into that 8-hour time period. I couldn't have lost my weight without it, but it's still calories in, calories out. And I can take in a lot of calories in a hurry. My old McDonald's order for a single meal was nearly 800 calories more than I have for the whole day now. I'm serious. I've done the math. And I could eat that in less than a half an hour. Okay, that leaves me with 7.5 hours of eating. So yeah, If you're intermittent fasting, you need to track what you're eating too. But you're going to need to do it anyway, right? The tracking part, I mean. And intermittent fasting absolutely makes losing weight easier. In my experience, 100%. I couldn't have done it without it. I really couldn't. And really, you don't need to think of this in a very formal, capital I, intermittent fasting kind of way. Everybody has an eating window. We all fast because we all sleep. So even if you eat from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed, you're technically intermittent fasting. My thing is that you need to figure out your window, right? What's the best time of day for you and for your body to take in those calories so that you feel the most satisfied, and we're going to make losing weight as easy on yourself as you possibly can. That's it. Number 9, how do you properly calculate calories for maintaining? You use your TDEE, right? Once you've hit your goal weight, you start adding calories back into your daily diet until you're back at your maintenance TDEE. That's it. Number 10, did you adjust your calories as you lost weight? How'd you do that? Yes, I did. So your TDEE is going to shift as your body gets smaller. It takes fewer calories to pump blood through a smaller body and move it from point A to point kitchen. So yeah, your daily calories, they're going to need to be shifted, but it's a very small shift. And if you're using an app, it's going to automatically adjust it for you as you enter your weight each week. If you're doing this manually with a pen and paper, you want to hop online and check that TDEE calculator about every 5 pounds. Number 11, do you have to be in a calorie deficit each day, or can you do it by the week? Okay, so I talked about this one during the Surviving the Holidays series, and the answer is yes, you can do it, but no, I don't think you should. And it's a very big answer, and not everybody likes it. And I really don't care. Weekly calorie tracking leads to planned binges. Sorry. It leads to furthering your broken relationship with food. And it's really counterproductive and a very bad idea. That's it. Our last question, last formal question today is number 12. And we're going to finish things up with a banger. How many calories should I eat to avoid starvation mode? Okay, I said this for the first time on here last week or the week before, I think, and it felt really good. So I'm going to say it again. There is no such thing as starvation mode. At no point in human history have people who have been starved entered into some astounding state during which their bodies just hold on to fat cells to conserve them and prevent weight loss. And I am not going to mince words here. It's really offensive to suggest otherwise, and it's hurtful to a lot of people. Starvation mode is junk science perpetuated by the toxic diet industry to convince you that you are incapable of losing weight without their guidance and intervention, and it's horse shit. So please don't worry about starvation mode. It's a convenient myth that allows people to believe they need to be eating more. Because above all else, when we're trying to lose weight, when we're struggling with obesity, we are looking for any reason or excuse to let ourselves eat more. And for the diet industry, it's great. Because if you believe you should be eating more because of this miraculous state known as, you know, starvation mode, you're going to be eating in a calorie surplus, which means you'll gain weight, which means they will make more money selling you shit that doesn't work. The worst part, though, of starvation mode is all about the self-talk. I should eat something before bed. I didn't lose any weight this week, so I'm probably not taking in enough calories. Nope. No. If you hadn't taken in enough calories, you would have eaten below your TDEE and you would have lost weight, because that's how this works. I'm sorry. Calories in, calories out feels like an oversimplification because we don't want to believe that it's true, but it is that simple. No, the emotional part of all of this is anything but simple. But the food part of it, the nuts and bolts of weight loss, the reason all the diets and injections and the surgeries and the fasting windows work is that they put you into a calorie deficit. You're taking in fewer calories than your body is using. Or calories in, calories out. It's not glib It's just straightforward. And it's annoyingly catchy. Even more annoyingly, it flies right in the face of things like starvation mode. There's no such thing. All right. That brings us to the ends of the questions, but I've got one more little bonus 13th thing I want to say about calories. It's okay to hate tracking. It's okay to resent the fuck out of it. But there's only one way to lose weight. There's just one, and it's a calorie deficit. The only way to know that you're in a calorie deficit is to track what you're eating. That makes calorie tracking the only real shortcut to weight loss, period. So you might as well embrace it. Choosing to think of it as a shortcut, even if it feels forced at first, because you're going to believe in it at some point. It's the truth. You're not trying to convince yourself that the sky is a lovely shade of lime green every time you look out the window. You're reminding yourself of a fact. And my logic is super sound here. Choosing to see tracking as a positive, and our brains see shortcuts as a very good thing. So deciding that when you pick up your phone to figure out what you're going to have for lunch, choose that you're going to feel relieved to be in control, proud of yourself for taking control, and at the very least, semi-pleased to be actively doing the only real weight loss shortcut that there is, tracking your calories. I know that was a bundle of information, but there's so much misinformation out there about calories and about the role they play in weight loss that I wanted to have somewhere that people could go to get a whole bunch of answers all at once. So thank you for joining me. I'm very excited about the year ahead. I think it's going to be a pretty good one. Keep trying, keep tracking, don't be intimidated, and don't give up. You've totally got this. Thank you for listening to Disrupting Obesity with Charlotte Skanes. If you know it's time to take back control, lose the weight, and keep it off, reach out to me privately with a direct message on Instagram that says ready, so you can start disrupting obesity.